Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 4th. My name is Dr. Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Thanks to everybody joining us live as well as to those listening in the archives. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to us and hopefully take away something. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, I think obviously, you know, we're going to be talking about Star Wars. It's May 4th, and May the 4th be with all of you. So, what are your feelings on Star Wars, Dr. Hunter?
Well, don't even get me started. I just finished Deep Space Nine for like the third time.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I mean, I think you love them both, but I would lean towards Star Trek myself. But no, we're talking about, you know, the intersection of thought and reality and what an interesting discussion it's going to be. And we were thinking about, you know, what is the best way to start this kind of discussion? And Dr. Vicki, you had mentioned, you know, talking about, you know, how we even begin to form thoughts at a young age. And you had put it so well. You were talking about sensory input and things like that.
Well, I think all new life is born sensory, meaning we don't know a language. So let's just, because we all speak English here, we don't know English when we're born, right? That's something learned. But we are sensory, you know? And what I mean by sensory, let's just make it simple. You know, hot, cold, hungry, wet. You know, there's these sensory, those physical senses. You also have a sense of tone, of sounds, you know, of vibration, of, you know, basic energy around, and absolute trust. I mean, babies let you carry them around 4, 5, 6 feet off the floor, and, yeah, okay, I'm just floating around up here. It's all very sensory. Mm-hmm. So we think about animals or, you know, contrary to popular opinion, Michael, your dogs really don't know English.
Well, they know some English.
And they're learning, but more than that, they're learning tone.
Well, of course.
You know, and like how the sound modulates, and then you get an action reaction.
Yeah.
And so we start to get feedback in that. So I think that thought is, if we consider thought, there's sensory thought versus what we believe in intelligence with language thought. And I think that distinction has to be made.
Absolutely. I mean, any thought originates, I mean, well, actually, where does thought originate? Where does that spur of inspiration come from? It comes from deep within. That thing that is the soul, whatever, you know, we're more than the sum of our parts. That thing that is not just our mind, but our entire consciousness, it forms thought, and it forms thought before it forms the words. We translate thought into language. to have an inner monologue and things like that. But what you're talking about is sensory thought. I've always thought of it as an abstract kind of thought, thought without language, thought that's, you know, just a pure kind of almost where
well,
you convey
kind of what,
emotions and intents and tones and things.
Well, I think, and this is what meditations attempt to have us do, is to be still with our thoughts. You know, cause, but then we have that language rolling around in our brains. But it's to calm the language and be more present and sensory. There's a technique that I treated myself to my 30th birthday with a session, for a session with a guy who taught the Alexander technique of be here now. So you sit in an empty room, one chair, and observe yourself with your thoughts starting to flit. And they will. They'll go back and forth, but to continually come back to the present. I'm sitting in this chair. My feet are on the floor, you know, and being present with yourself and being still in those thoughts. I think, and if we weren't taught that language, we would be primarily sensory. You know, that primal kind of mm-hmm. experience. But we would still be intelligent enough to be creative, I think. Psychiatric education's had a field day with this for the last 60, 80, 90 years. Generalized psychology and all these different factions of where does thought begin? And, but more to the point, Michael, what is consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think consciousness is already existent before we experience how to formulate thought.
I've always thought that consciousness is derived from awareness of your surroundings. And the more complex your awareness of your surroundings, the more complex your consciousness will tend to develop. And then that's, you know, your ability to perceive things and your ability to see the world in deeper ways, and by which I mean, you know, sentience. And I think it is very hard to quantify consciousness. And that's why for a very long time, humanity has had a very hard line. You know, there's humans and then all the animals. It's
right.
A huge drop off.
Yeah,
and admittedly, you know, we're the dominant species on it. We can do whatever we want. We don't check in with anybody. So obviously we are the most intelligent species in the way that we can create technologies and use tools to reshape the world. But I would say that a strong argument can be made for orcas and dolphins that mm-hmm. they approach actual sentience. And excuse me. And It's an interesting way to think about thought. And of course, you know, when we talk about the intersection between thought and reality, that is entirely what we're getting at, is that thought is the origin point. Thought is what drives and shapes reality.
Well, and then we get into thought processing. But before I go there, I'd like to speak to Dr. Zach's comment in the chat. And thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. Zach says, it's interesting because language simultaneously allows us to express our experience while our experience is constrained by language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good point. But he also follows up to say, it's why some languages don't have expressions for certain feelings that are explicitly cultural. And that's a really good point, because a lot of root languages don't have all this mess. You know, of, oh, I mean this, or oh, I mean that. Because like in French, amour is amour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just is. And so a lot of root languages do that. They don't have, English is kind of what goes off on tangents. So we tend to muddle our own brains and our own realities from that.
Well, and I think globalization of human culture has made languages much more complex. You know, every major language that's in common usage has a bevy of new words. You know, I know English has many words that it didn't have originally that came from indigenous societies that they encountered all over the world. And it's another interesting thing because, yeah, language, your inner monologue dictated by the language that you speak natively often does dictate the flow of your thought. There are plenty of courses you can take, and you can, you know, look at the power of controlling your inner monologue in that dialogue, and what kind of, you know, negative or positive thoughts are you having? And of course, everybody is going, you know, everybody in their mind has, you know, dozens, hundreds, thousands of different voices, and then kind of just different competing thoughts, desires, and motivations. And that kind of all merges into your total being and produces an action. That's why word... What's that?
The key point.
Exactly.
You see, it's a feeling, your senses and your feelings, and that's why I incorporated the sense, feel, think, and do into some of the courses with IMHS and TFU, is because we are sensory first. So if we think about it, Michael, we are feeling, we're thinking, and deciding, mm-hmm. and then it's supported by an action. And so what do we do? And sometimes the action is an inaction, but it's a decision nonetheless.
Absolutely.
I'm free to change my mind. I can decide to do something different later. So I think that the how we have gone off in cul-de-sacs in our thinking has kind of skewed our reality. But, you know, as my late teacher Frank would say, we can sit a coffee mug in front of us and each see the coffee mug differently. It's handle on the right, handle on the left, no handle, you know, but we can all agree that it's a vessel.
Right.
So what is our reality? You know? So we have a decided, like a mutual understanding of what our reality is. A chair is called a chair, you know, a fridge is called the fridge, you know, so we have that basic understanding of reality based on our language, based on our experience.
I think we can all agree to, and there, right now, things are very, you know, polarized. It would be probably the best way to say it, and people are going to camps and all of that. It's hard to agree on certain common facts anymore, but there are certain core things that do permeate every sense of reality: amor, love, and, you know, family, and the basic tenets of survival. And of course, you know, there's one other thing that binds all of reality, and it's the core principle that the toilet paper goes on the roll with it overhanging, going down, not underhand. That's just wrong. But anyway, moving on from that core tenet of reality, you know, it's a lot of what your reality is unique to you because of what you perceive to be possible.
Well, now perceive, that perception, Michael, is each of us, no matter what we're learned or taught or conditioned, we will still interpret it our own unique way. I have a way of processing in my brain, understanding how my brain works. And I'm a borderline dyslexic. I know that if I'm a little tired or if I catch something and I don't rethink it, I'm going to get it jumbled up or, you know, and screw up. And writing is a big challenge for me because I, you know, from my brain to what comes out in my fingers and typing too many words a minute, it gets jumbled up. Mm-hmm. So I have to be very conscientious. Some people are auditory delay, short-term memory delays. Some people are varying degrees of dyslexia, you know, and we could get into autism. It doesn't mean somebody is completely diminished. It just means that they have a unique way of seeing reality. And then we have to check in. Am I really seeing what's real, or did I just make that up in my head because my eyes glitched, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, here's another thing. How much of our, you know, current perception of reality is shaped by our memories, and how accurate are those memories? They're tinged by emotion. They're tinged by the feeling we had at the time and certain perceptions we had at the time that may or may not have been accurate.
Well, Dr. Serenity has just said in the chat, and thanks for sharing this, Serenity. She had to learn a new way after she had a ruptured aneurysm. And she's also saying her husband has Asperger's as well. Now, there's varying degrees of Asperger's, which has to do with the front cortex, and perception, social spaces, you know, and interpreting certain things. So it's... And again, we could get into these big discussions of what they are, but thanks for sharing that, Serenity. It's sometimes we do have to relearn. And even if someone has not had an aneurysm, you might, like one day, like Dr. Kelly and yourselves, wake up and say, oh, being a Jehovah's Witness isn't cool for me. I got to change my reality. or, you know, you're suddenly saying, oh, this marriage isn't good for me, I have to change my reality. See, because our thinking is constantly changing, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Edward has said that Serenity's husband's in good company. Elon Musk has Asperger, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
But it's just...
Dr. Mike is saying he has dyslexia. And so this is where I love this discussion, because I know we can go off on many different avenues for this, but that being sensory, the one thing we can all rely on, if we choose, is to go back to our sensory perceptions,
mm-hmm.
ask ourselves what our sense is, not what we're feeling emotionally, because that comes second. It's what is my sense, and how am I going to emotionally process this? What am I going to think about it? What am I deciding I'm going to do about it? And there's just this natural process. And, okay, but I don't process the way the teacher is giving me information, so it's up to me to find a way to reorganize that. You know, and I don't necessarily always think it's up to everybody else to tell me how to figure something out. I think that we have self-responsibility as well as hopefully support around us to do that.
Absolutely. It's
what does surprise me, and I think where you're leaning, Michael, is where all of us can be in the same room and say it's all a different color.
Oh, absolutely. You know, everybody will witness the same event and say it happened a few different ways because, it's nothing inherently wrong or evil or bad if it's something that's different than what you perceived it as. It's just human. And it's just, we all go into it with our, instinct. Humans are driven by instinct as much as any other creature. And it is our instinct to, we compile this data and we form these, you know, stereotypes, and we go into a situation with this information kind of at the ready. Because it helps you, you know, in a survival situation. Now we're advanced to a more complex society. It causes some problems sometimes, and people will come into things with, you know, a preconceived notion. And I don't necessarily mean it's always going to be along tribal lines or ethnic lines or anything like that. It could just be you have a preconceived notion about a situation or about what you think is going to happen. You know, one of the things I wanted to touch on when it comes to thought becoming reality is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And
good one.
You convince yourself that this event is going to happen, and you help bring about it just by focusing on it. You lead to it. If you had never thought about it in the first place.
Unless you're psychic and you just say, I told you so.
This is true.
I had to go there, Michael.
Or, more like the person who's, you know, is prophesizing the end of the world on a certain date, engineers it so the world is destroyed on that date, you know, something as a master, you know, Dr. Evil-esque plan. But it's that just kind of, it's just an odd thing about being human, about living in this life. When you observe something and somebody in either their personal life or even a people as a community create the very problem they're trying to avoid, it happens again and again, and it's fascinating. That's why I love history so much, is because you look at it and it is, you can see every iteration of, you know, different type of human, and that's just not just ethnically, that's also in different personality types, different cultures and subcultures and different ways of existing as a human. And you can see all of these different case examples throughout history, and these are real people that lived and felt and aspired to do things for thousands of years, billions and billions of us. And it just is fascinating how that history has been shaped. It's been shaped by people thinking about things. And those thoughts led to actions, led to shaping of reality, not just for the individual, but even as cultures, the creation of gods. It all has been building and building and compounding into this culture that we have today. Thought shaping architecture, the very physical world that we inhabit.
And I think you said earlier, Michael, when we're seemingly this very polarized, you know, group of societies, I think there are many varying realities, depending where you live on the planet. And it's not a far right, not a far left. You know, there's an in-between and a degree over there and a degree over here. It's no different than the Christian church having, you know, dozens of Protestant you know, offshoots going in every direction, because everybody has a different idea of how they should do that.
Yeah.
Or what it means, how I'm interpreting it.
Exactly.
So I think that we're in a world where, and I know I don't have to preach it to you or anybody else listening in the chat tonight or in the archives, but, you know, where is our common denominator? You know, the common denominator is we all need food, shelter, and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just universal. And a story.
And purpose.
And a sense of purpose. Thank you, Michael.
I mean, people have put everything else at risk. They put their family at risk. They put their, you know, by dangerous travel, they put their own lives at risk. They put their potential futures at risk for a sense of purpose, a sense of hope for some kind of unified future, of being part of something bigger. I'd say
that. I think it's very interesting for me. I've thought about this many times over my life, is how, especially in westernized cultures, mm-hmm. not always true in some others, but more westernized cultures, we teach children this very romantic kind of life and existence, and it's magical, which I'm all for, by the way. But, you know, living in that, a different kind of altered dream world that we all wish we could have.
Yeah.
And even as I watch my own children growing up, now watching my grandchildren grow, and I see as the innocence of that early life waning, you know, I can see, oh, they're losing their innocence coming into this world. So, but which is it? You know, because there's a lot of cultures, and hey, 100 years ago, 80 years ago, even Western cultures, 11 and 15 year olds were working in factories.
Right? Yeah.
So, or the mines. And there's many cultures now where children at 5, 6, 7 are working in factories or out in the fields. You know, that's a reality, and they don't have that, what we have cultured as to be this early childhood lovey-dovey romantic ideal of life. Because really, that's what we have in comparison to others. So at what point, you know, do our realities begin to change? You know, watching my teenage granddaughter, you know, it's the teenager things, and friends are important, and mm-hmm. exposed to other ideas and cultural ways. You know,
it's so odd. Tension. It's so odd how everything is different when you're a teenager. Everything is just different.
Hormones.
hey, that's reality at the time, right?
I know.
But it's...
And but it is. It's how we are in different realities, and how where our thought is and our consciousness into, I think, forgetting the end goal. That's what I think, is what is our end game if we're way out of whack, like it seems to be in many ways, is we've lost sight of our end goal if it's not power, greed, acquisition, you know, financial gain. But if we take that away, we're all the same. You know, it's like we all just want to have food and shelter and a nice life and, you know,
yeah.
sense of meaning and
you're right.
value.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Anywhere you go on the planet, people just want to live their lives, and by doing that, they just want to have fun with their friends. They want to have, you know, their kids be able to have the possibility of a prosperous future. They want to try to have some kind of sense of purpose and direction in life and live as part of their communities. But you find that in every different society all across the world, and it shows the commonalities between us. And it does make everything else seem kind of silly that we would come to such blows, such as warfare, such as, you know, this bickering and pettiness. And it's unfortunate, because in so many ways we could have a much better experience, a much better reality, if but we would do it.
You know, Eric Fromm warned us in a book he wrote back, called The Sane Society back in the early 1900s, and I love this book. But he warned about a time of industrialization and how we take apprenticeship away from the people and that sense of purpose away from people and put them into factories and, you know, entertain them so they don't get disruptive. And he said, but the human spirit will not let that happen. Like, there's a human spiritual restlessness right now, I think, but people don't, being out of touch, don't really know what that means. So their only sense of spirituality then would be religion, for instance, or some kind of dogma, something to fall back on, rather than peeling that away and seeing, say, who am I as a human being? Mm-hmm. But we're entertained to death. And Michael, you and I both said, you know, I had to watch Grace and Frankie this weekend. You know,
okay, to be fair, we both didn't say we had to watch Grace and Frankie. I'm not entirely sure what show that is, so I don't want to endorse it. It might be a great show.
It is a great show. But, you know, we had things to do and we're far too entertained. I had a conversation just yesterday with my second daughter saying, you know, the problem with today, and again, it's not bad, it's not wrong. It's if this were even 60, 70, 80 years ago, we would have things to do all day that had nothing to do with the internet, had nothing to do with being entertained. We would get up in the morning, put the bread in the oven, make breakfast, clean up, find food, you know, clean. We would have a day filled with tasks to survive.
Yeah.
And improve our lives. And, you know, I'll never forget when my mother thought she was getting a new washing machine. My father came home with a new Ringer washer. My mother was so deflated because that's what we had, a Ringer washer. But a Ringer washer was huge compared to the scrub board that my grandmother used. You see, so we have evolved, but we've evolved in some ways to boredom. And what is our reality? What are our thoughts thinking about when it's not the very basics of we're sensory conscious beings, and we all want the same thing, as Ronnie has said in the chat. You know, we just have different thoughts about how to get there. Thanks for saying that.
Absolutely, and that's the truth. And there have been a lot of learned people who have put forth the idea that a lot of the issues that we're having today are largely evident because of a bored society. I mean, we have more free time on our hands than any single generation of, you know, era of humanity before us. In the Western world especially, that is true. But even in other places, it's just easier to live in this era than it was. We have vaccines to things. We have medicines. Food has been, you know, we've been able to, you know, this has pros and cons in itself and could be another topic, but it's, you know, been able to industrialize so you can feed billions.
As the pendulum swings, Michael, people now rely on the doctor to give a pill to get better. I just want it to go away, instead of saying, oh, what can I do for myself and how do I get creative and learn about something?
Absolutely. That's especially true when it's, you know, you have an issue because of a lifestyle choice, then, you know, a different, and even other things that you can do that would not be perhaps as, well, that's getting into a complicated topic, of which I'm not.
The only thing I'll say about that, I think with having come through COVID and stresses on all medical systems, people are not getting the help that they're accustomed to in the last number of years, like the last 20 years. Go to the doctor, get help. They have to start, you know, advocating for themselves, doing research for themselves, finding out, well, what is this, you know, and looking for different ways for self-care, because doctors, number one, aren't available. Mm-hmm. You know, well, the list is long. I don't think I need to tell anybody what that is, but it's thought and reality, and we're all very fractured in how we see reality. And I think if I can narrow this down, because I know we're going to start picking cards here in a minute, Michael, but what we have here at IMHS and TFU and coming on every Wednesday night is a shared reality, respecting every one of you who comes in the chat or listens in the archives has your own daily reality. But we do have a shared reality in being existential, you know, and giving new thoughts and the desire to evolve. And, you know, helping to change our minds a little bit. So that's where I think that, you know, thinking and reality are that partner.
I would completely agree. And I would also, you know, we're going to get ready to draw cards here soon. So definitely throw your name in the chat or just let us know that you want a card pulled for you. And we'll definitely grab that one here in a sec. Just to kind of round out what I was thinking about is really just...
Dr. Mike is saying he believes that the internet and social media has been one of the main factors in the downfall of society. And you're not alone to feel that way. I think that I have my opinions of it too, Mike, so I don't completely disagree. It's catch 22, isn't it? Because it is the internet and social media that has us be here in this way.
Well, and that's what you what I was kind of building up to is, you know, we're talking about right now, especially we have access to fewer experts like doctors and things. We're doing our own research, which is great in a lot of ways. You should be constantly educating yourself as much as you can. But I was just thinking about that famous Einstein quote, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. And that is, knowledge without context can be a dangerous thing. If you don't have the full context of the knowledge for a situation, if you're only seeing a small piece of it, it's going to change what you believe to be the truth. It's going to change your perception of the reality. And your thoughts on what are possible are going to be, you know, dictated by a lot of those things. So what I would say and encourage is cast as wide a net as you can. Get as much data and information as you can. And that will help kind of spur the thought process, guide it, and you can at least make the best informed decisions about anything. And we all have that shared reality. And the last one that, you know, I have to throw this in here, of course we have the shared reality that Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back was the best Star Wars film. May the Force be with you. All right, so now, of course, we're going to get onto cards. Before we do, a reminder, this coming Saturday, yep, May 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern in the United States, in Canada, is going to be the graduation ceremony. And we're looking forward to it. Students can find information on your portals. You'll see the countdown timer. We have Dr. Serenity in chat with us. Very happy to have you. Looking forward to seeing you at graduation. Very proud of you. And encourage you to invite your friends, family. It's going to be a great time. Any words, Dr. Hunter?
No, let's get on with some names. Now, what we're going to, you know, our little group is growing. And there's more names starting to show up. We already have 12 names in the chat. We're going to call it a stop at that. Well, you guys don't mind. Don't be disappointed for anybody else. Michael and I have had this conversation before that maybe 10 is enough for the time allotted that we have. But, you know, we'll go with who we have today, and we'll have to revisit that conversation in the future, Michael. So, we will. But Raven is first. Go ahead. Let's go.
All right. So, wildcard number 7 to get started tonight. Great start. Wildcard number 7 is hope.
Good one.
Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, in support of that, Raven, is the Five of Hearts, Five of Cups. And sometimes it's just a matter of taking inventory, chilling out, and allowing energy to move on its own without any force. So, in other words, sometimes there is... time just to chill out. Take a weekend off. Don't think about anything. No pressure. There's always hope at work. So you're flying on that hope. And for now, chill out, relax. Life is going to happen soon enough. It won't be long.
True words never spoken. All right.
Dr. Mike is next.
Dr. Mike, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Let's see. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Well, and maybe other people paying it back, Mike, because the Empress is here. And so when you have pay it forward and the Empress, it's fertility, planting new seeds. But it also could mean, as I'm interpreting this, is, you know, what you have put out there, it's coming back, you know, in different ways. It doesn't have to come back from the one you might have loaned $10 to, but it comes back in another way. And I'd say this is a great seed planting time. I kind of get this butterflies. It's exciting. Oh, Wendy says you had this car back in 04, 06.
Yeah, a month ago.
April. Yeah. Ooh, there we go. Just about a month on the nose.
Yeah, very interesting.
Awesome. Ronnie is next, Michael.
Ronnie, I have wild card number 6, entropy. Let's see. Let's start pulling them in advance. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Ronnie, I got the sun in support of that. New ideas, new, it's like birth. That's what the sun is. I mean, we revolve around the sun. We need the sun. It's the center of our universe, but it's also the center of our heart. So if you think about the sun and how your energy is flowing, you know, always moving forward, keeping your entropy in line and kind of sometimes just put a glass wall around you for other people who are negative. They're not on your frequency. Mm. So, you know, it's just shelter yourself a little bit, you know, buffer it. But again, a really positive message here for you that life is growing and things are on the positive.
Good message. All right. I think Kay Mitchell is next.
Kay Mitchell. All right. New one. Welcome.
Glad to have you. And interesting first card. We have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, in support of that, I got the Five of Clubs, otherwise known as the Five of Wands in the Tarot. What I'm seeing here is that it may not be the difficulty that you thought it would be. It might not be quite the anticipation of a challenge that you thought it would be. It doesn't mean a challenge isn't there, but not as bad, perhaps, or as inflamed as you anticipated. You're just in a big energy shift. So I say, you know, roll with it as well as possible, but it's really positive. So anytime you've got this new chapter, you know, sometimes that doesn't feel good. You know, like when you're running across the street in busy traffic. But, you know, it's to watch for cars both ways, and you're going to get to the other side. And I feel for you also. I feel for a lot of people today in this past week, Michael, there's some changes afoot. Mm. That's cool.
Well, very hopeful.
Yeah. Eileen is next, I think.
I believe you're right. And Eileen, I have wild card number 4, Unknowable.
I love that card.
That's such a good one. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. Great.
Eileen, you... Sorry, Michael.
I was just going to say, great card and a great way to talk about tonight's topic, too.
Well, and Eileen just got double whammied with the moon card. So you have unknowable and then the moon, which is everything to do with unknown and secrets hidden. Like there's an, there, you're in, look, sometimes, you know when you feel really unsettled, Michael? You know, and you don't know what's going on, you feel like out of place.
Like most days. Things,
but you know that there's a shift afoot, but you don't know what that is. And it's kind of exciting but scary at the same time. Eileen, you're turning a big page in your life, whether that is your perception of reality, you know, things that are coming as a result that help to change your thinking. I think probably both, a partnering in there. But, wow, this is very exciting. You got some stuff coming up.
All
right.
Don't worry.
So it's not to worry about it. It's be positive about it.
Great advice. All right. I think we have Jamil next.
We do.
And I think we're both trying to say the same thing at the same time. But Jamil, I have number three, wild card number three, blocks. There's a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required and remain open.
Well, I got the Five of Diamonds, Five of Pentacles, and I thought, well, now what is that in blocks? You know, this push-pull thing. And I said, I got to get another one. It's a Four of Diamonds. So in this case, I think that there might be a review of work, finances, a little shifting in that, but it's not to worry about it because you are making some decisions, according to this, Jamil, even about what kind of work you take on, but also the remuneration of that. And I feel like something good is right around the corner where you'll get more than you had. I do. I'm not just saying that either. I think that's coming.
Oh, very nice. All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next. And I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Ooh, Jeff, Emperor, taking charge of your life. It's like being in the power of you. Like, who are you? You're just Jeff. And that expediency about knowing when to act, when not to act. And I just want to say that about being reminded that you're in charge of how you want to be and what you want to do and how you want to manifest that. It's just a small reminder of empowerment. That's the way I see that. I hope that makes sense to you, Jeff.
All right.
Again, that's an affirmation, not by any stretch of criticism.
All right. And we have Dr. Edward next.
We do.
And Dr. Edward, I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Got the Jack of Clubs in support of that, Edward, and I like that. It's communication and learning new ways of communicating, finding ways to use language that benefits you and you feel that empowerment. And I feel like we're being a little redundant after Jeff's little commentary, you know, or what we said to Jeff, but this is for you about finding a new language. And I like that. I like to be challenged about finding a new way to communicate. And I want to say here, sometimes less is more. Fewer words are better than big, long explanations. So I hope that makes sense to you, Edward.
Very good. Very good. All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, next. And Wendy, always glad to have you. And don't worry, we always have a card for our card keeper. I have number 26, Energy Signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
You know, the Two of Clubs, and the story that comes to mind for you, Wendy, is that, you know, sometimes when you move in your life or you have more responsibilities, your relationships with others change, or certainly they change with you. You're still who you are, growing and expanding, but they see you differently. And it might be that you're finding a new way to communicate with others who see you in a different light. And so what this is just asking of you is, how do you see the future and how do you want to interact with that? And you know, it's just the way it goes. That's a people thing. Everybody wants you to be successful, but what's in it for me? <You know? laughs> And so as you're empowering, you know, others are seeing it differently and still trying to figure it out. That's what comes to mind there.
Good message. All right, we have Dr. Kevin. And Dr. Kevin, I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
The Jack of Hearts here for you, Kevin. That's come from your spirit, come from your heart. The power of your spirit is the heart. And think about the energy you put in support of and behind what you think and what you do. Kind of what we were talking about earlier tonight, you know, thoughts and reality. And this is you doing a deep dive into your heart, saying, what do I feel? And how am I going to explore that now? What am I going to do with that? It can be very exciting. It can also be very daunting. But it is just a reminder, come from your heart. Oh, I guess Kevin had the power of the spirit on 0316, according to Wendy in the chat. That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. It's very interesting when those repeat messages come up. Jamila just mentioned that familiar blocks card, and I was trying to remember if that was one that had come up for him a few times before, but it's always interesting.
Oh, something good is coming.
All right. Now, Audra's next. Now, she said we could skip her. And, you know, I know, Dr. Vicky, you want to pull a card for Audra. I don't know. But, Dr. Vicky, I'll go along with you on this one. So, Audra, of course, I have number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within.
Good one.
There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
I got the Justice card in support of that, Audra, and how I'm interpreting this is going deep within yourself to ask what's fair and equitable. So if you feel like you're waffling or feel like you're being pushed around, always come from the dialogue of fairness and equitability, and that will get you through and better more. And that's what I want to say to you. So we all know that you're going through a change in your life, but justice is about value for value and fairness. So if there's a challenge here, don't hesitate to speak up for yourself. Absolutely.
I love it.
Okay, so Dr. Serenity, who is going to be on the graduation list.
She will.
On Saturday.
I have to say that, you know, so glad to have you here, Dr. Serenity. Just a fount of positivity and just so uplifting and, you know, just you know, rooting for you, so happy for you, just so excited for you and looking forward to it. So tonight I have number 32, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Six of Hearts in support of that serenity. And really, that's about family, community, being of service, and the bonds you have, commitment, loyalties. You know, with sympathy and empathy there, it's just a reminder that sympathy is kind of stationary, doesn't know what to do. Empathy is just sometimes offering, what can I do to help? And allowing yourself to be the support. And but also, who is a support to you? So surrounding yourself with good people. So it works both ways. So who is in support of you, support in your life? And you don't want sympathy for things. You also don't want people telling you what to do. And so, like I say, it's figuring that out at some level. So there might be a situation here where that is kind of what you're contemplating. So I hope that makes sense in some way. Aside from congratulations on Saturday. That's
great. And, you know, I know that we have a lot of other people here in chat that are going to be graduating as well. Shout out to Dr. Mike. He's on the list. He'll be joining us as well. So looking forward to having all of you. And, of course, this is, you know, a bigger event with people that have gotten their graduations from the, you know, June to, well, May to, it would be May to April, I guess, wouldn't it? That May to April kind of time frame is set up for that graduation period. But, yeah, definitely looking forward to it. So I think we got everybody tonight.
And you know, this will be my 11th year.
I know, it's crazy.
I know. You know, I 11 was just, years.
I was, you know, just a young adult back then. Now I'm a middle-aged adult.
It's true.
It's been a fun journey, I got to tell you.
It's always a journey out. You know, you're looking back over the last 11 years, Michael, and I said, wow, covered some ground.
Yeah.
You know, certainly have. And we'll see what the next few years brings. But meanwhile, for other folks here, whether you've worked on your, you know, your studies for 6 months, a year, 5 years, 6 years, it doesn't matter. You got there. And it really is a time to celebrate every one of these occasions in your life. But this is a big one. You got through and you did it. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So looking forward to having you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Another shout out, Dr. Raven. Going to see you there graduating on Saturday. And, you know, this is kind of what it's about. It's about expanding our knowledge base, expanding what we're aware of. It is about giving our minds as much information as we can so that it guides our thoughts to the best actions to shape the best reality.
Thoughts became a reality.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dogs are thinking about playing and fighting with one another in a playful way right now, and then they turned it into reality.
And they'll probably join us on Saturday.
Probably, oh, that'll be fun, huh? That'll be fun. But they do know some words, Dr. Ricky, because they react. And studies have shown, as Wendy pointed out in chat earlier, that they can understand up to 50 words or more. They understand context of tone as well, so an interesting thing about thought.
Michael, I kid you not, I had a dog, bless his heart, many years ago. I had him 14 years. I taught him to count. And I'd say, say please three times, and he'd bark three times. And I'd say, do it quietly, and then he'd just do a woof. And, you know, I kid you not, he knew how to count up to five. And he knew a lot of things. So, you know, yeah, they can learn.
They truly are too good for us. But
yeah.
So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us tonight. Please tune in next week. We're going to have another topic, kind of explore what does it mean to exist in this human world, in this life. And looking forward to seeing you Saturday. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.